Their nerves were fairly thrumming by the time the Rangers reached the Risal Road, the major north-south thoroughfare which they'd crossed over with several close calls two nights previously. It was now 2:30 on Wednesday morning, January 31st. Musi was deeply concerned about the Risal Road. Not only was the highway controlled by the enemy, but the Japanese convoys had been most active at precisely this time of the morning. If enemy traffic appeared while they were crossing, the life march would be in jeopardy. They were pitifully vulnerable. The present caravan of shambling prisoners and torpid water buffaloes was not nearly so agile as his light-traveling rangers had been two nights earlier. The column now stretched back for more than a mile behind Musi, with more than 600 people and 50 ox carts in the train. Even under the best of circumstances, it would take them a full half hour to get everyone across. Musi was unaware that earlier in the evening, at about 8 o'clock, as the Cabanatuan raid was being carried out, a Black Widow night fighter had destroyed 5 troop-carrying trucks and a Japanese tank on this same road, approximately 6 miles to the south. 10 other Black Widows were fanning out over the roads and arteries of Nueva Ecija just now, seeking prey. Even though they were friendly aircraft, the night fighters made an unnerving chorus of furies in the night sky. The Rangers found it vaguely nerve-wracking to have this unseen menace droning above them. As Musi approached the Risal Road, his scouts informed him that the embankment on the far side of the highway was too steep for the Carabao carts to negotiate. Instead of crossing right over, the cavalcade would have to backtrack, proceeding due south on the highway for over a mile before they could find a suitable place to pass over. Musi assigned 2 parties to set up barricades. Armed with bazookas and anti-tank grenades, the 2 teams assumed corresponding positions to the north and south of the main column. Beyond the roadblocks, Musi sent scouts on Kalesa ponies to serve as advance warners. Then in ones and twos, the men and beasts climbed up from the rice paddies onto the road and began to inch southward. Musi understood that it was a tremendously precarious endeavor. If an enemy motorcade were to come along, neither of the 2 roadblocks would be able to hold for more than a few minutes. The long file of prisoners would then lay hopelessly exposed.
It was a pretty bad stretch, Musi conceded, but we couldn't avoid it.
Silently, the exodus crept down the road, the men enjoying the feel of the smooth asphalt under their feet, even while they dreaded the circumstances of this risky pass. The 2 barricade crews scoured the highway and prayed that no one would come.
It was a tense hour or so, remembered Roy Peters. We couldn't have done much with those roadblocks if there'd actually been Japs coming. But as with the rest of the raid, we had good luck every step of the way.
Finally, after what seemed an age, as Musi put it, the long queue reached a spot where the Carabao could safely vacate the road and slip back down into the relative safety of the countryside. At about 4:30 a.m., the maneuver was complete, with the blistered Captain Prince now hitching a ride in an ox cart, bringing up the rear. As Musi later wrote, "It was the longest hour I've ever sweated out in all my life."